Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. As the name says, our listeners are business creators. We have our entrepreneurs, small business owners, and local business owners. We have marketing and business coaches, consultants, and mentors. We have the folks who help others build their businesses, create their businesses, and we have do-it-yourselfers who like to have your own hands on the levers. If you are one or more of the above, and like me, many folks who tune in every week for Business Creators Radio Show are all the above. Take a moment, explore our episodes, and discover how we help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Also, be sure to check us out on iTunes. Every 5-star rating is greatly appreciated, helps us more business creators just like you. And when you subscribe, you get fresh content every week, including immediate access to over 200 episodes on a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator. You know, there's a funny story I tell, and there are some who are a little bit shocked by it, and then there are those who will have similar stories of, oh my goodness gracious, if you only knew. Back in like 2002, when I was first catching the entrepreneurial bug and I was getting on my very first website, and I didn't know anything about HTML or Dreamweaver or WordPress. Even to this day, I know enough about that stuff to be dangerous and to help others. But I needed to get some sort of website up in conjunction with my job search as I was graduating from my MBA program at Duquesne University. So I make this little confession sometimes that I borrowed HTML code from a porn site and turned it into my website. If you know where to look on the Wayback Machine, you can find it, but I'm not telling you what URL to look up, even though part of it had my name in it. And, you know, what's funny is several years ago, we interviewed somebody for the expert section of our Business Creators Institute members area, and she told me a very similar story about studying the adult entertainment industry in terms of developing some strategies for marketing and how, in general, we should look outside the box. So now that I've maybe shocked you and put you just a little bit on the edge of your seat, what I want to do is I want to bring you back in, bring you back to earth, and I want to just get you in line with the idea that you can learn so much that you can apply to your business. So many things that will benefit you as a business creator when you look into markets, industries, and niches that you yourself are not in. A good friend of mine, his name is Matt Sellhorst. He's the founder of Boat Dealer Profits. He has recently written and launched a book called Boat Dealer Profits. And although it is geared towards boat dealers, people who sell boats, there's so much inside that book that every entrepreneur should listen. We learn about the sales cycle. We learn about what Matt calls the splash system and how that can be translated to pretty much any industry. So in the name of the concept of riches and niches and the idea that when we look a little bit outside the box, sometimes we find exactly what we need, I introduce to you Matt Sellhorst. He's going to be our guest today to tell us what the boat dealer industry teaches us, all businesses, about making more money and having more fun. So let me just tell you a little bit about Matt. He's the creator of the Splash System, and he's committed to helping honest and ethical dealers sell more boats, make more money, and have more fun. He's the author of two books on the subject of sales and marketing in the boat business. Boat Dealer Profits, How the Splash System Can Help You Sell More Boats, Make More Money, and Have More Fun, and a book called Marine Marketing Strategies. He is also the sales and marketing columnist at Boating Industry Magazine. He's a well-known industry speaker, having presented on stage at MDCE, Marine Retail University, Sail America, and other dealer and manufacturer events. Matt's also been recognized in the Movers and Shakers edition of Boating Industry, in the Bold Move section, featured in Soundings Trade Only, and he won the Best Idea in Orlando at MDCE, as voted on by hundreds of boat dealership owners, GMs, and other industry insiders. So with that, I welcome to you Matt Sellhorst. Matt, come on in. The weather's fine.
Hey, thanks for having me. And you were correct about a shocking admission. I had no idea, sir.
Yeah, that ought to get people to pay attention. It's like sometimes you send out that email with a little bit of the it's like sometimes you send out that email with a little bit of the offbeat subject line, and then you reel it back and you say, okay, now that I got your attention.
Yeah, I almost hung up to go start searching the web for Adam Holmey and see what I could uncover.
Now, I did a pretty good job taking care of that one. You got to know where to dig to find that archive. The moment I actually realized revenue in my business, I replaced that sucker real quick.
There you go. Well,
so what I'd like to do here,
on the show.
I know, we're both so excited here. We can't wait to speak. I know. So what I want to do here is, I know that some of our listeners are currently Googling Matt Sellhorst and Boat Dealer Profits, and they're looking for the opportunity to get to know you better. So let's help them out. What I like to do is I read off the guest's official biography, as I've done with you, and then what I like to do is our first question, just to ask you a little bit more about your personal journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators and boat dealers at the intersection of your brilliance and passion.
Yeah, well, it started for me when I graduated from school. I got into the finance world I'm from Nebraska originally. Got into the finance world and was successful there. Started a mortgage company and had some pretty good success. And then 2008, 2009 hit. Everybody's familiar with what happened there, Lehman Brothers going under and the mortgage meltdown. Well, for my business, in my very first business that I started, ran it for 6-7 years, and the mortgage meltdown hits, and I've got to close down my first business. So, you know, having a little bit of a crisis in life, trying to figure out, you know, what the heck am I going to do? I'm about ready to get married. And I say, you know what? I want to do something after closing that down and just kind of having that personal crisis. I want to do something I really love. So time and time again, as I was talking to my girlfriend at the time, now wife, it was, you know, I've always been a boater from the age of 5. My family's been involved in the boating lifestyle. We got our first boat and never looked back. You know, 6 boats later, a lake house and just that being a huge portion of our lifestyle. Said, you know what? I'm gonna go sell boats. I'm gonna go learn the boating industry, and so I left, 12 years or so of finance background behind, and started selling boats. Well, with my first year, started out not super successful. It was a new industry, a new product. My general manager, matter of fact, called me a no boat selling son of a gun. And it didn't really take right away. But after a while, I figured out some systems and pulled the things that did work from the mortgage industry, put them in place in the boating world, and soon became a top producer, wrote my first book, started doing some speaking, started getting some interest from dealers and manufacturers. And now, you know, doing that full time, helping dealers and manufacturers around the country, sell more boats, make more money, and have more fun. With sales and marketing strategies and systems that have been proven to work by me and countless others.
Wow. And that's a great story. So, you mentioned that you've brought together a lot of the systems and a lot of your learnings and created this new thing for boat dealers that they can use to sell more boats, make more money, and have more fun. You call it the Splash System. And I know it's actually been around for a little while, but you've recently revamped it and you've added a lot of great stuff to it. So we're going to do this one a little bit backwards. Tell us a little bit more about this Splash System and how it helps boat dealers.
Well, yeah, the Splash System, I'll tell you the acronym. It's a steady flow of quality prospects, predictable profits, loyal clients, abundant repeat and referral business, systematic results, and higher margins in all departments. So, you know, regardless of what business you're in, you can adjust a few words here and there, and you know, that applies to you for sure. But the new part of it is, you know, the world of sales and marketing is changing. And, since I started selling in 2009, was the first year, August of 2009 was the first year I was selling boats. You know, the technology, the smartphone, the consumer mentality has all changed dramatically. And as those things change, as I work with dealers and the system continues to improve and evolve, You need to change with the times. You can't just because it was successful 5 years ago doesn't necessarily mean there's not a better way today. And that's why it's been updated and continuously will be. I mean, I don't ever see a time where I say, oh, it's perfect, it's done, because 2 years right. later, you know, you're left behind.
Yeah, you know, you and I have had conversations. When I first got started with websites, this is a few years before I had a business website. So go back to like the 1990s, 1995, 1996, and I was building my GeoCities website with my shout out to my boys and my tribute page to my love of my life for the next 3 months at the time. I think some of our listeners know what I'm talking about. And I was going door to door for Bob Dole. I mean, remember when Bob Dole was running for president? Seems like a lifetime ago, but that's only 20 years. So look at
yep.
how much has changed just in those past 20 years. And I remember that's when I used to have my 1988 Camaro. And I'd bought the thing about a year and a half before, but I spent a lot of time looking at the Trader magazines. In my case, the Auto Trader, looking at other Camaros. I was thinking about maybe getting a Monte Carlo SS or something like that for a different type of car. And I spent a lot of time in those Traders. And, you know, you have a story about how things used to be different. So let's segue into that just for a minute about what it was like back then. And people used to look in Trader magazine and compare that to what we have right now.
Yeah, it's well, first of all, I'm a Monte Carlo man myself. I had two of them. My first and second car were both Monte Carlo. So
nice.
I love that that you're a Monte man. But yeah, so in the boat business, you know, 20 years ago in 96, you could put a, you know, in one of those Traders, you could put a picture, you know, of a grainy black and white picture and a 50 line description of a boat. You know, a lot of dealers would leave the horsepower off or leave something off that would make the customer say, or the prospect say, oh, I got to call them and find out, you know, does this have the 90 or does it have the 115 horsepower, you know, Mercury on the back? I can't tell from that grainy picture. And, you know, that's just the way it was. They had no other place to gather that information other than calling or walking into the dealership. And it's just, you know, that's the way it was. And that's the way the industry has been up until, you know, some of them still wish it were that way. You know, they still
right.
would act and you know, operate as if that were the case. But nowadays, consumers have all of that information at their fingertips, and they expect to, you know, if they're searching for something and you leave some details out of the description, you leave some details about that's important to them, well, they just click off to the next thing and find something else that that is suitable. And, you know, that's a
yeah.
significant change in just 20 years. And then, you put the smartphone on top of that they can do all that while they're, you know, sitting at a red light in their car, and they can find it anywhere they're at. You know, it's sitting in the restroom. It doesn't matter. They have their phone. They've got access to everything that they could possibly want to find.
Man, isn't that true? And, you know, you've told me stories of boat dealers you've worked with, and they've shared that sometimes they would have the person at their desk filling out the paperwork to finance the boat. And their new customer who had just said yes to buying that boat they were filling out the paperwork for was still on their smartphone looking at other boats.
Yeah, I was sitting at a dealer. I was actually on site for this particular dealer. And, you know, I just, when I come in, part of the process in one of my programs is to be on site and sort of see what's happening, look for areas for improvements. And, you know, just happened to be a client had walked in that was very interested in the boat. Negotiated, agreed on price, and this dealer took a deposit on a credit card to say, okay, this boat's yours. Let's get your financing figured out, and we'll have it ready for you to get on the water for next week. You know, customer wallet out, credit card in the hand of the salesperson, and I'm, you know, that nobody knows who I am. I'm just kind of walking around, and I look. Sure enough, the guy's got his smartphone out, and he's looking back on some boat website, probably Boat Trader, I would guess. And, you know, searching for a different boat, looking at details on another boat as he's sitting there, credit card in hand, paperwork in process, saying, yeah, this is the one I want for next weekend. And he's still shopping in the dealership's, you know, showroom.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting that even as he's handing over his credit card, he is still opening himself to other marketing messages. So there's still that chance that before that credit card gets processed, even as he's handing it to the dealer, he pulls it back and says, wait a minute, I'm not so sure. So you could lose the deal even when you have it.
Yeah, it's that fear that, you know, every sale is held back by a fear of some sort, that fear of maybe this isn't the best deal, maybe this isn't the right boat, maybe my friends are going to tell me I should have bought a different boat. Maybe a more perfect boat just came online 2 seconds ago and I'm going to miss it. You know, that fear, and it's going on in their heads, and, man, that phone is right there to answer those fears, to just, you know, scratch their itch.
Oh, yeah, they call them smartphones for a reason. Sometimes I wonder who's the smart one.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
You've shared with me a concept called the educational spectrum of a boat buyer. And I found this topic particularly interesting because this is one of those things I think can be adapted to pretty much any audience, especially in our modern 24/7 smartphone world. So tell us about the educational spectrum of a boat buyer.
Yeah, it's a concept that I came up with, and I discovered it in researching for the mortgage business, and as I got into the boating industry, it seemed like a great framework to base all of my sales and marketing systems on. And the idea is this, that in the boating industry, I tell it like this, you know, the way people buy boats, if you look at it from the consumer standpoint, take out what happens at the dealer side, but the consumer, you know, they wake up, they're having breakfast, and the husband or the wife says to the husband, hey, honey, maybe we should buy a boat. And that first comment gets them on what I call the educational spectrum. And they go through that, and they do their research, and then they evaluate what the right boats are. Then they finally make their decision, and money changes hands and are a now buyer. Well, what I found, and if you think about it, I did a talk, and I related to a pack of gum with my three-year-old daughter at the time, went through the same process to buy a pack of gum. And, you know, she first said, hey, Daddy, can I get some gum? Well, you know, sure, go ahead. Pick out a piece. Well, then she had to research. She had to look at all of the flavors of gum that were sitting there at the convenience store, and you know, she was researching what's out there. Then she started evaluating. Well, I don't like grape, and I do like strawberry. I like bubble gum, and this looks cool. And that was the evaluation phase. And then finally, it came to, yep, this is the one I want. But there was still that one thing missing in her case, and that was, you know, she didn't have $1.39 to buy a pack of gum. So she had to ask, you know, Dad, can I have the money to buy this? And, you know, then the money changed hands. So in her case, it's a 10-minute process. For the boat buyer, you know, it can take a day. They can wake up in the morning, have that conversation, go to a boat show or a dealership, go through the process. Yep, this is it. They've got the money. They write the check, and boom, they're out on the water. But what most often happens is it can take weeks and months and even years in a lot of cases with an aspirational purchase like a boat. And, the basis of that framework can really help guide you in, okay, if that's the way people actually buy this product, when a lead comes in, how do I handle that? Well, if I don't sell them today, I may have to continue communicating with them for, you know, months and years in a lot of cases. And that's the educational spectrum of a boat buyer, or educational spectrum of a whatever buyer, of a gum buyer.
Wow. Yeah, and I find that quite interesting. You know, when I was 17 years old and I got the idea that I'm going to finish this secondary school business, and before I go off to college, I'm going to work and raise some money, and I'm going to buy me a Camaro to take to college with me. And that's all I could think about was that damn Camaro. And I got my Camaro, and I had it for 4 years, and I loved the thing. But I went through some of that same process I mentioned earlier. I was going through all the Auto Trader and Custom Antique and Sports Car Traders. I really wanted a third-generation Camaro, and by 1994, we were in the fourth generation, but I wanted a third generation because I just loved that design. I loved that style. There were actual used car dealerships, several of them, in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. Is where I was at the time, that specialized in Camaros, Firebirds, and Mustangs. So I visited all of those dealerships several times. I educated myself, through what we was known as the internet at that time, Far Cry from what it is today, about the differences between the carbureted engine, the throttle body, the tune ports, learning about the options and the different gears, whether it was really worth it to get an IROC, how to build a competition sound system inside the Camaro, all kinds of stuff. So by the time I finally got my 1988 base model Camaro, which was the only year that they made the base model Camaro where it actually said Camaro on the ground effects instead of RS or Z28 or IROC Z, I had a 5-year plan for what to do with that car. The car itself only lasted 4, but I did get my system. And by the time I got my system, 2 things. Number one, the system was worth more than the car. And second, people finally understood why I opted for a vehicle that didn't have T-tops. They thought that was so weird. I go get a Camaro with no T-tops. But through my educational spectrum of a Camaro buyer, I discovered that the Camaro had unique acoustic benefits if you wanted to build a competition sound system. And it's like you'd cruise around and boom, boom, people hear me a mile away. And the T-tops detracted from the soundstage so much that I did not want them. Plus, that was when competition auto sound was, really, really taken off. I didn't want my car broken into. And the T-tops, those things were not secure. All you had to do is have a real good push-up game, and you could get pop those things right off. I did not want that happen to my car. So people laughed at me, he has a Camaro, he has no T-tops. Yeah, and I got a system that you heard 20 miles away. So, hey, I got my educational spectrum. Now, tell us some things about the educational spectrum. Let's get into this a little bit further of some examples of how we can take this and apply this to many other industries and markets, because this is something that when I first saw it felt pretty universal to me.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, like I said, you can educational spectrum of a boat buyer, educational spectrum of a Camaro buyer, educational spectrum of a gum buyer. It's all the same. So the stages, and I kind of look at it like it's on a spectrum. So you have A to Z in the spectrum. The first is you get the idea. The idea pops into your head from somewhere that maybe I should buy, maybe I should get involved in. Maybe we should invest in X. And then, you start gathering basic information individually. You start asking friends and family for referrals and recommendations. The serious research begins, where you're going into chat rooms and asking about competition speaker acoustics or competition stereo acoustics. And once you start doing that, then you can start narrowing in on the choices. Eliminating the things that don't work for you, zeroing in on the things that do, and narrow into your favorites, And then there's something that happens as that evaluation phase gets closer to the end of the spectrum is you go from I'm thinking about buying this to I'm going to buy this. So I am going to buy this Camaro. But there's something that needs to happen next is you've got to wait for the timing to be right. So I'll tell you a quick story. I had a client of mine that was looking at a 30-foot deck boat. Met them they requested a consumer guide that I offered, which is a great strategy to take advantage of this educational spectrum concept. Followed up with them, finally got them into the showroom, and they said, this is what we want. We spec'd it all out. And then they stopped calling me back. Well, I finally got in touch with them. I said, hey, what's going on? And they said, we've got to wait. My father passed away. We've got a piece of real estate in probate, and we've got to wait for that to sell. And then it's going to be a $10 million sale, and it's going to be distributed among like 7 kids. And we can't buy this $120,000 boat until that happens. And so they were all the way to that point, to almost Z, but they couldn't buy until that one thing happened. Now, in their case, it was an inheritance. It could be till I get my truck paid off. It could be until my kids are out of college or till my kids are old enough in the boating industry. And then the money changes hands. And that was a really interesting experience for me to understand that there was nothing I could have done as a salesperson to make that sale happen. But I did have to make sure that I was there when they were ready. you know, I did have to make sure that they didn't lose the boating itch, that they didn't get swept up by somebody else that was offering a similar product, that inheritance didn't come and Matt Sellhorse was the last person on their mind. I had to make sure I was front and center so that when it happened,
right,
and it really, in their case, it was, the next day we were writing a $20,000 check to order the boat and have it custom built. So
yeah,
that's some details, but there's a lot of strategies. Once you understand each of those phases, then there's a lot of strategies and tactics you can put in place because of it.
Yeah. That makes me think of, just to segue very briefly, is every town, every city in America has a well-known personal injury attorney. So if you say personal injury attorney, depending on where you are, if you're in Pittsburgh, the name that's going to come up is Edgar Snyder, and him saying there's no fee unless we get money for you. And that guy's been written up as a pioneer of marketing techniques for the legal industry in general. Here in Las Vegas, you hear that jingle for Glenn Lerner. He's our equivalent of Edgar Snyder. I mean, there are others, but he's the one that really stands out. He's got all the billboards. He's got all those intentionally cheesy TV ads that stand out. And that little jingle where you sing his phone number and it's musical and it rings in your ear. So if I ever get hurt, I know who I'm going to call if I'm here in Las Vegas. I mean, while I'm in that stunned motion of, wow, I've been seriously physically wronged here, I think I need to sue the pants off of somebody. Who do you think my first call is going to be? The one always on my mind. So that to me is what jumps out as part of the whole idea of the educational spectrum is it can be a long spectrum, especially when we're talking about somebody fulfilling their $150,000 childhood dream.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, especially when you understand the beginning of it, of, hey, honey, let's buy a boat or let's do this, you can narrow down those people that you're in front of. So for the attorney, he doesn't know who's going to get hurt next, and it's, you know, that's something that has to be a long-term play. In a lot of industries,
right,
though, Adam, you can find those people that walk in, that come in from an internet lead, that call your business, and you get their information, you know they're at least somewhere close to that educational spectrum, if not on it. And then it's easy to communicate with just that smaller group instead of, you know, you don't have to buy $1,000 TV spots or radios. You can use some really inexpensive communication and strategies to always be in front of them. Newsletters, autoresponder email sequences, you know, things like podcasts and online video are things that I certainly believe in. And just, you can have that, you know, that cheesy commercial to go out to everybody in the world, or you can focus it just on the people that have shown themselves to be on the educational spectrum or close to it within your,
right,
your product segment.
Yeah, and you know, you make a very interesting distinction. I mean, a personal injury attorney, you don't need one until you get hurt, basically. I mean, I know there's reasons you may want to have one on retainer otherwise, but generally speaking, the average person does not have any need or use for a personal injury attorney until they get hurt and there's civil liability involved. Now, for somebody looking to buy a boat, buy a sports car, buy a house, it's a little bit different because this is something they're thinking about for a long time. I thought 2 years before I thought about my Camaro for 2 years before I finally got it. There are people out there, there's one we know personally, that thought about his boat for 40 years.
Yeah, and the more aspirational the purchase, the longer that spectrum tends to, because if you have any boating experience in your family or in your life at all, there's probably always a thought in your head of, man, it sure would be nice to have a boat someday. Once the opportunity presents itself that you have that thought, okay, now what can we do to speed that process up and speed them down the educational spectrum even more, but understanding that until it's time for them to buy, that you just have to make sure that you're in a position to be their choice, and also be their choice that's making the decision not based on what's the cheapest, but who's going to deliver the most value and who's going to be the best to buy this product from or service.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, another thing that you've shared, as I've read in your book, is because people – this is going to start bringing things together – because people are always on those smartphones 24/7, so you have the aspirational buyer, if he's really serious about buying that boat, if she's really serious about buying that house, and they're at that point where they're getting excited about it and they're starting to think about it, they're going to be on that smartphone a lot. They're going to be on it while they're sitting out on the porch. They're going to be on it while they're sitting at the cigar shop, while they're sitting at the club, while they're sitting at the ball game, while they're sitting in church sometimes, believe it or not. and how many of us, let's have a show of hands, take our smartphone with us to the water closet? Yes. So people are on these things all the time, getting educated about their aspirational purchase. So it is the responsibility of the boat dealer, just as it's the responsibility of the entrepreneur, the merchant, or what have you, to provide that education that people are looking for. If this were 2017 that I was an 18-year-old kid looking to buy my first Camaro, and I was trying to figure out what kind of engine I needed and what were the differences between the various model years, the golden opportunity for any used car dealership that wants to sell me a nice secondhand Camaro that an 18-year-old can afford is going to be putting out all kinds of information about what is an IROC Z, what is the difference between tune port and throttle body, what do ground effects really do, the Camaro, the sound stage for the ages. You could go on and on and on with the types of information they could easily put out that could attract their audience.
Yeah, and when you think about it from the consumer standpoint, from the shopper or the researcher or the evaluator standpoint, and when you think about it in each of those phases, it almost just writes itself what type of information you should be offering. So, if you consider from the consumer standpoint, not what happens on your side as the business owner or the salesperson, but what's really going through the consumer's mind, what questions do they need to have answered to kind of relieve that fear that they have, to make sure they're making a smart decision, make sure that they're making the right decision. Those type of articles, reports, helpful tips, videos, all of those things are they're what people are looking for out there and what they're searching for when they're buying something online. And you can be the person that shows it to them. And now you've changed yourself from a salesperson to the expert that's kind of their advocate that's looking out for them. It's a very different approach than what people used back in 1996.
Speaking of advocates, and this just popped in my mind, this is not in my notes for this interview, I'm reminded that 4 or 5 years ago, I was up in New York State. I was headed up to see some friends and go to a concert, and I'm driving along the expressway, and this New York State police officer gets this nutty idea that I was doing 77 miles an hour in a 55. I have no idea where he got this crazy nutty notion, but he had the flashing lights, so I had to kind of just go along with his story, false as it was, that I might have been accelerating at a rapid rate of speed. So it's like, oh, shoot, 22 miles over, that could be points. Could that come back to Pennsylvania where I was living at the time? And I ended up doing research on what to do about an out-of-state ticket in New York State. And I actually got an answer, and it surprised me that this worked. Maybe it's because it was an attorney who practiced in the same town, because in New York State they call them towns, as where my hearing was going to be, because I knew that I had the option of having a hearing like anybody does. So I'm not telling anybody this is legal advice. I'm just telling you what happened for me. Do not assume this is legal advice. Let me be clear. I read a blog from a traffic attorney who said that if you have an out of state speeding ticket and you otherwise have a clean record, that a plea that you can attempt to make by mail is to plead not guilty, request no points. That was the phraseology. Not guilty, request no points. And then basically write an article, write a letter where you confess that you should have known better and you were just being a dumb cop, and then write a nice paragraph about how awesome the state trooper was and what a great professional they were and how glad you were they showed up that day, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all the other stuff we mumble in the magistrate's office when we're trying to get the points off. So I got a letter back 2 weeks later from the town magistrate, and they said, you know, we received your plea of not guilty, request no points, and our recommendation is that you plead to two counts of driving through a stop sign and one count of parking too far away from the curb. That's a $200 fine. There are no points. And I said, yeah, that's what I was trying to tell that trooper. I missed the stop sign twice by accident, and I was parked too far away from the curb on the expressway. Thank you for seeing the light. And I signed off that check, got it notarized, and was done.
It makes perfect sense that would be the that would be the way to do it. But it's that and what's interesting is it's that expertise that whatever business you're in, you just know. Like, there are things about the boating world that I just know growing up on them since I was 5 years old. There's things that attorney knows about how to get out of speeding tickets because that's their life. And what of those type of things can you share that's going to be valuable to your perfect, your perfect target market?
Yeah. So what I'd like to do here is I'd like to come back a little bit. We're talking about the internet. We're talking about inventories of boats and cars and whatever you have. Part of what you teach boat dealers is how to use YouTube to promote their inventory. So how does that work?
Well, it's real simple. As a lot of people know, if you study digital marketing at all, YouTube is one owned by Google, and it's the second largest search engine. I think last time I checked, it was the second largest. I don't think it's overtaken, but
right.
That is where people go to look for information. And if I was showing this on a computer and you did a search for boats for sale, Charlotte, North Carolina, and there was a page of listings that came back, and you've got the ads on the top, you've got a couple of the organic searches, and the second, third, maybe fourth one down was the little box that we all know is a video. It's got the little triangle in it. What is the first thing that you're going to click on if that was even close to relevant to your search? Well, for most people, they're going to click on that video because I would much rather watch a video than read, and I think the younger the demographic trends in your group, probably the more so that's true. And the other thing that's really interesting is Google understands this. So they rank the videos higher in the search rankings as long as it's relevant and as long as you do the right things with the keywords and the title and the subject line of the video. And they're going to show your video. So what I discovered in my market was when people are buying boats, when they're researching boats online, one of the things they type into the search bar is boats for sale in your market area. So what I did was I would video all of the boats that we had for sale. We had maybe 50 boats for sale at any one time in our dealership. So I'd just video them all, and then I would label them, 2018 Sea Ray 230 Sundeck, boat for sale, Charlotte, North Carolina. And with that simple strategy, a 3 to 5 minute video, had a call to action, I gave a good, honest presentation of the boat in that amount of time. And now I own the search engine market for those keywords in my area with a practically free strategy. And, I was able to leverage those videos in a number of other ways as well. But the big one was people found me because of my videos. Found me over a dealership that was one of the top dealerships in the area. They found Matt Sellhorst as the pleasure boat specialist even before they found our dealership with that simple
right.
strategy.
Yeah, and what I heard is in terms of optimizing the videos, there's a science to it, but it's not rocket science. What you're looking to do with the title of it is basically optimize it. If somebody's looking for a, I don't know anything about boat names, unfortunately, so I'm just going to make something up. The 2009 Stingray XS2. So you use that as the title and you say the town it's in, basically, for sale. That's the whole thing, as I understand it.
Yeah, the title of it, you're bumped up there, and I've seen people get up there in 2 days with a single video on a brand new YouTube channel. When they do it the right way, they bump up right to the front of the line.
Yeah, you know, years and years ago, well, 5 years ago, I did an interview for the Business Creators Institute with the top 40 performing artist Benny Mardonis, who created the song Into the Night, which was a top 40 hit twice in the 1980s. And it's actually on the archive of Business Creators Radio Show for anybody listening. We did an interview with him on customer service strategies viewed through the eyes of a rock star. And I took a 4 minute and 47 clip, a 4 minute and 47 second clip of that interview, the one where he tells the real story about, you know, she's just 16 years old, leave her alone, what that really meant. And I had the, I paid a friend of mine $25 to make a slideshow of pictures of Benny. And then I put this video on YouTube and I gave it the title Benny Mardonis Interview. To this day, 5 years later, this YouTube video, very simply, with just one paragraph explaining it and one link back to the episode on Business Creators Radio Show, outranks pretty much every interview that Benny has given to actual magazines about the music industry.
Yeah, it's you know, video, it's just if what I've always been taught by dad was play by the rules of the game. Not as you want them to be, but play by the rules set for the game, whatever it is that you're playing. And the rules of the Google search world, there's this big black box, but one of the rules that we know to be true from experience is video with the right keywords ranks better than non-video with similar keywords. And, you know, it's just it will boost you up there because people click on it. And that's what Google cares about, is they want to make sure that the links that they're showing in search results are being clicked on. That tells them that it's relevant, and that gives you an advantage. And it's, you know, with you've got that smartphone in your pocket everywhere you go, what opportunities can you find to, you know, take it out and shoot a quick video that is going to answer a question that your customer's searching for online?
Yeah. So what I'm wondering if some of these same strategies could apply to businesses that offer services instead of products.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why it wouldn't. The industry, and you kind of alluded to it in the intro, is don't ever discount an idea because it's in another industry. Just ask yourself, how do I apply this to my industry? So, you know, throw out an industry. Throw out an industry that somebody might say, man, it would be, how would I do it here? And we'll see if we can come up with an idea that would work.
Oh, this is fun. I got two of them on top of my mind. So I'm going to start. The first one is vacuum cleaner repair. Believe it or not, some people still have their Hoover fixed.
Okay. So, you know, so the video that you could do, you've got a vacuum cleaner repair shop. So, you know, let's see if I've got a Dyson you know, how to replace the belt on a Dyson. And so if you have a Dyson that's broken, that's a question that you very well may type into the search engine or into YouTube directly. That's where I'll go for my service type issues is, you know, how to replace the belt on a Dyson. And so you create that little thing, and then at the end of it, you say, you know, hey, this is Bob from Bob's vacuum cleaner shop. You know, here's a special offer that I have for watching this, because when you replace your belt, you know, it may be an opportunity to do, I don't know enough about vacuum cleaners, but to do X, Y, and Z, you know, go to this website and take advantage of that free offer, or we'll give you a free checkup of your Dyson. And, you know, the only people who are going to come to you are the ones that are in your local area, but that's a free strategy that I could virtually guarantee is going to drive traffic to that video and in turn to you. And just like the attorney, the personal injury attorney, they replace their thing and they may not think of you right away, but when they need that new vacuum or when something more serious happens, what are they going to do? They're going to remember you were there. And, you know, if you do some other things to get them in what I would call your 24/7 selling machine to follow up with them, you can even communicate with them, you know, consistently after that. So that would just be a quick and easy one for a vacuum cleaning repair shop.
All right. Actually, I have a total of three here because I just thought of a third one. But let's do the second one. Second, entrepreneurial coaching, being a business coach. That's we have a lot of listeners who, in addition to the work they do in business, also coach on it. I'm also one of them as well. Very popular topic on my show. So I'm an entrepreneurial business coach. How can I use YouTube?
Okay, so you know, it would, if you noticed in the example on the boats, I said Sea Ray boat for sale. In the example of the vacuum, I said Dyson. You know, replace it on a Dyson. The more specific you can make that keyword and fit that in there, the higher you'll rank because it's more relevant. So if you're a general business coach, you may want to consider doing something on a specific level. And, you know, let's say that you – and then pick a specific topic. So, you know, how to create a podcast for your business coach, your coaching business. You know, or something along those lines that they would be searching for. And again, go back to what is your perfect target market searching for that you can help them with, and then you give them some pointers. And if you can niche that down even more, you know, how to create a podcast for business marketing coaches. And then you show some strategies and some tips and you educate them. And then again, the key that a lot of people miss is getting those right keywords, but then giving a call to action at the very end. You know, it's not just educating them, but it's educating them and then offering them something else that would get them to kind of enter your world. And, you know, I call it a 24/7 selling machine to get into the newsletters and the communication that you do to your target market after the fact as they move down that educational spectrum. But, you know, that would be my approach there.
Okay, and this one's actually going to be a little bit of fun. When I go on the social interwebs like Facebook and Twitter, and I'm even starting to see this on LinkedIn, believe it or not, I get targeted for ads that feature T-shirts and mugs and hats and lanyards and those types of objects that contain quotes and sayings from a certain very well-known politician. Let's just leave it at that. they've figured out my views on that individual, so they send me all the happy, positive stuff. But the fact is there's a lot of people doing it. So let's say I wanted to take some of their famous sayings. I want to put them on T-shirts and mugs as well. Or let's say that this famous politician, whose name I'm not going to mention, accidentally falls asleep while tweeting and invents another word again. And I want to be the first to capitalize on that instead of the 100th person to capitalize on it because I missed that boat. Could I use video to stand out from all of the other people doing the exact same thing? And what ideas would you have that might help me be the one out of those 100 ads that people say, ooh, this is actually interesting?
Well, this is a tough one. Let's see. I would start with figuring out, okay, what are you going to do? So you said you wanted to sell T-shirts with that slogan on it or that saying on it?
Or something like that, yeah. I mean, this can apply to any individual. I mean, I've gotten several requests for this, people who have asked for my coaching on it. So since we're talking about YouTube videos, I figure I'd throw this in the mix.
Yeah. So what you would definitely want to include that word in, or, you know, that new word into the search,
yeah.
Something that people are going to be searching in, or that famous politician's name. And then
right.
You want to put something on that you know they're going to be looking for. So, you know, just like those ads are following you around because Facebook knows kind of your interest and your views on certain things based on what you do and don't click on. You want to try to get
right.
into your consumer's head on that same topic. So, you know, maybe it's a compilation, kind of like your interview with what was the guy's name?
Benny Margolis.
Benny Margolis.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it could be, you know, funny sayings that this individual has done, like such and such. And then it's more of an entertaining
yeah.
video that they're going to click on. And then again, at the end of it, you get the keywords right. You think about what are they going to be searching for online. They're likely not going to be searching, you know, this type of T-shirt. But you think about
right.
what would they be searching that would lead them to it. And then at the end of the video, then you make some kind of offer that's going to lead them to a page where you can capture their information and you can communicate with them and sell them then. So it's kind of a two-stepper in that situation where I can't directly come up with a, you know, they would be searching for a how-to, but they would be searching for entertaining pieces that would then lead them to the product or service that you offer that would be a relevant fit. And that would
right.
be that would be the approach there. But it starts with thinking about what would they be typing into the search engine? What would they be typing into that that keyword box on, you know, when they're sitting on a blank Google screen, the very first one that comes up,
yeah.
what are the things that they type in there and then create the content around that?
Yeah, and I can think of a whole bunch of them. Memorable moments from speeches, 20 greatest insults,
there you go.
Business sayings, what they mean now, looking back and celebrating the year of the meme war. I mean, I could come up with all kinds of things that people will go on when they're in actually kind of a fun mode and just want to look something up and just have a good laugh, that they'll look up and they'll enjoy that. So we're not leading with, we're selling T-shirts, is your point. We're actually
yeah.
doing something that if we want to translate it to, say, the business consulting world or the vacuum cleaner world or anything, we can use a term sort of like infotainment, where we're educating them and entertaining them at the same time, and then we have an ad at the end that says, you know, by the way, visit our online store, or if you'd like to use the saw, visit our online store, and that's where you promote some of your wares. Have an opt-in opportunity or some sort of engagement opportunity to get them connected on social media or a listserv so that you continue to follow up with them and entertain them even more.
Yeah, it's it reminds me that as you described it there, the I think it was Claude Hopkins, the enter the conversation that's already happening in their mind. You know, enter the conversation
yeah.
in their mind, whatever it is, whether it's a purchasing or whether it's an entertainment or whether it's a pop culture, whatever that conversation is that you can relate to your business and attract the right target market, use that to your advantage, create a video around it. And then, you know, have a relevant call to action, a relevant offer, whether it's a free, whether it's a discount, informational, doesn't matter, but just try to get them to engage one step closer to your business, and you're on your way
yeah.
to a whole new opportunity for you.
Yeah, you know what? I cannot believe that we are down to the last 7 minutes here. This thing has really flown. There's something you talk about, and I think this would be a great way to wrap up, that is very, very inspirational to me, having seen some of your webinars, having listened to some of your podcasts at Boat Dealer Profit's website. And you talk about the importance of legacy. So what does legacy mean? You know, tell us from a boat dealer's perspective, and then we'll get a sense of what that means for everybody.
Yeah, so in the boating industry, one thing that I discovered when I went from being a boater to being in the boating industry was that a lot of the businesses are generational, that grandpa started it and he started turning wrenches, you know, decades ago, found the opportunity in their local market area to pick up a motor line. You know, they started selling outboard motors, and then they added boats, and then they added accessories, and then they bought a marina. And now the son took over, or the daughter took over, and then now the third, maybe even the fourth generation is involved, and it's grown over time. So it, you know, it started out as a service department, and now it's this, you know, multi-million dollar operation. And to me, that's legacy. And the way I look at legacy is you want to be the one that hands it off to the next generation in a more enjoyable lifestyle. So you want to be the one that hands it off to your son or daughter or an in-law and say, you know, not only is this business stable and secure, but it's more fun, it's more profitable, and we're doing more than when I had it. And that's the way I think of legacy in the boating industry. And that's one of the reasons why the Splash system has been so successful, is because it's that passing it on to the next generation, that legacy that you want to pass on is, you know, kind of built into having a systematic approach to sales and marketing.
Yeah, we've done a number of interviews where we talk about, you know, why people are creating their businesses and how they want to pass things to the next generation. In fact, in some of our recent, and I think even one of our upcoming interviews here, there is, or is going to be, we do so many of these, sometimes I have to be reminded, but there's actually an extensive conversation about how to take a principle of business and use that to educate your children to show them business concepts at a very early age so they become more productive and contributory members of society as they reach adulthood. So, we are thinking ahead to the future of our families, the future of our children, and I know that a lot of people started their businesses in the first place because they want to provide a better future for their family. So for the boat dealer who's struggling in some cases with how things have changed and trying to adapt to the changes, legacy becomes a very powerful thing. Like, you know, if I don't figure out this internet stuff and I don't, you know, use the splash system, I'm going to get splashed here pretty much, and I'm going to have nothing left to leave to my kids.
Yeah, you don't want to be the generation responsible for, you know, locking the doors up for the last time and shutting off the lights forever. That's not the legacy you want to leave behind.
Right. So I think that's something we just need to think about as we move forward with all of our businesses, whether you're a boat dealer, whether you're an attorney, whether you're selling T-shirts and mugs, whether you're fixing vacuum cleaners, looking to sell cars, whatever it is. These are all very important things. Now, you shared with me in the green room that you have a little something special for our audience. Please tell us about that, Matt.
Yeah, I know that that probably it would be quite the coincidence that there were a whole bunch of boat dealers out there listening. It would be awesome. But I want to offer my book. The book is called Boat Dealer Profits, How the Splash System Can Help You Sell More Boats, Make More Money, and Have More Fun. And just like this conversation, the educational spectrum, the 24/7 selling machine, I think it can translate to any industry. So I would love to give anybody listening the book. All I would ask is that that you cover a small shipping and handling amount. And just go to boatdealerprofitsbook.com/success, and you can take advantage of that. Just get the paperback copy, be mailed to you, and just ask that you cover the shipping and handling, or you can certainly go to Amazon and get it for $20, but why not get a free book?
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, but when they go to boatdealerprofitsbook.com/success, you also share some additional tools and bonuses. I know one of them is a clip from one of your speeches, and then you do a deeper dive into the splash system that you mentioned earlier, something that you designed based on your work as a boat dealer and coaching and consulting with boat dealers, but something that very easily could be applied to pretty much any business since you learned a lot of it from studying businesses across the spectrum.
Yeah, it was, you know, the having my own mortgage business and pulling that in. I've been a student of sales and marketing for, you know, since I started my first business back in 2003, I guess it was, and, you know, testing and tweaking. And so all of the concepts have been pulled from various industries. And I think you're right about a lot of the best ideas come from industries outside of the one that you're in. And the splash system is pulled from a lot of different places. When you look at the infographic that's in those bonuses, you'll be like, it doesn't say, but maybe boat in there three times, and you can easily apply your business to the framework that I provide in the book and the bonuses.
Right. So again, I'll just give people the link. That's boatdealerprofitsbook.com/success. And I also know that Matt has a limited number of copies available that he set aside that he's able to give out for free. You know, just pick up that extremely low shipping and handling that's probably less than many of you paid for your coffee this morning. Believe me, I know the numbers. And get that for yourself, and I think you're going to discover a lot of things will be applicable to your business. So with that, Matt Selhorst of BoatDealerProfits.com, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor and certainly an education, a lot of fun.
Hey, Adam, I appreciate it. I didn't know we would go from porn to vacuum cleaners and touch on boats a little bit too. So thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we try and make it interesting. So
you never know. Entertaining and educational.
Listening. Yep, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. And who knows what segues we may follow next. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.